Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert is on the air. Middays with Gerard Gibbert is powered by C Spire. Power your home or business with C Spire fiber. To learn more, visit supertalk.fm/C Spire. C Spire fiber powers Super Talk Mississippi. Get ready.
Get ready
to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. Hello. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Everyone, and welcome to Midday Super Talk Mississippi. I'm your host, Gerard Gibbert, along with Rhino in the Element Wealth Studio, guiding you through the middle of your day with facts, fodder, and fine music as we kick off a brand new one here, Rhino.
Howdy, howdy.
Well, the monsoons continue here in the Magnolia State. I enjoyed playing with my son in the member guest tournament at Old Waverly Golf Club this weekend, and got up there Thursday afternoon after the show, little practice round, good round Friday, and then, man, overnight, what's up with this rain coming through at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's a, what, you know, the old afternoon thunderstorms, where are those? This is like early morning, right, dead hours of the night thunderstorm. So came through again last night.
I don't mind them at 3 in the morning because I'll just sleep right through it, and then I don't have to worry about it when I get through my day.
Yeah, if you like that, it can be a rather soothing to the sleep. But, man.
Plus, it kind of cools it off for the morning. So
that's
it,
true.
It has a steeper hill to climb to get as hot. I mean, it's still muggy out there.
Yeah,
but
yeah, totally agree.
I'll take highs in the lower 80s any day when it comes to June in Mississippi.
I'm with you. Totally agree. Meanwhile, out there in California, the old summer of love looks like it's been reignited. Where's Jenny Durkin when you need her? The old summer of love. Seattle. Oh, my gosh. Well, the president says, enough of that nonsense. We're going to mobilize the National Guard. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says, we got 500 Marines on standby, ready to take action. You've seen the videos, the images, no doubt, folks, the reports of these folks that are protesting against the work of ICE in its efforts to deport people who shouldn't be in this country, who have no right to be in this country. You got the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, threatening Tom Homan. He's the immigration guy, you know, that the president tapped to clean the border up, get it secure, and more importantly, to hunt out these people who are in this country illegally, with an emphasis, a prioritization being put on those who are up to no good, and get them the heck out of the country. And these people are protesting against that. Now, I'm sure they're describing it as peaceful. They're anything but that. I think there was another situation with a CNN report where vehicles in the background were ablaze while the reporter described the protests as peaceful. Didn't they learn their lesson from that in 2020?
Well, let's see. I'm looking at a video that was live at 8:16 Eastern, so 7:16 Central on MSNBC.
Yeah.
Where they're talking to California Rep. Judy Chu, who says that the LAPD has the situation in Los Angeles under control. Meanwhile, MSNBC is playing a split screen of cars on fire.
Oh, my God. Under control. So cars on fire is now deemed under control to those folks. So the California, the state of California says they're going to sue the Trump administration over National Guard deployment. They demand that the president withdraw troops from Los Angeles. This is, of course, you've seen all the videos of the police, Los Angeles Police Department, some mounted. Notice the shields on the eyes, even on the horses as well, which makes sense because these are people who are hurling stones and rocks and other objects and setting firebombs and the like. And, of course, they're all masked up. They don't want you to see it, who they are. I'm feeling more confident that these are compensated bust-in protesters. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's any question about it.
I mean, just the publicly available information on the agitators shows that some of these folks, like the now infamous picture of the dude on his dirt bike with the Mexican flag doing circles around the burning car. That guy went to 3 Kamala rallies. He's been at 4 protests involving the burning of buildings. He lives, I believe, in a $2 million house. So, somebody's funding this. Somebody is trying their best to sow discord and unrest within the United States, and whether that be an individual, Soros, or a country, the CCP, well, we just don't know at this point.
Well, of course, Maxine Waters.
That video of her was comedy gold.
She could
just blah blah blah. Because that, I mean, you could translate what she's saying into English, but it still wouldn't make much sense. And the dude's like, "No, you're not coming in." Just close the door on her, and she impotently tries to open the door.
A member of the United States House of Representatives, I want you to know. She, of course, contends that it's the president who's sowing the discourse. It's all him. And several journalists have been injured while they're in the midst of the fray. They're covering the protests. You got the mayor. Oh, geez. Karen Bass, who wants you to know everything's under control, just like the fires, remember? It's the same sort of nonsense. These people just can't face reality and tell the truth.
They're allergic to accountability.
There's no doubt about that. So rubber bullets are being used by Los Angeles Police Department to try to hold the protesters in check. This does remind of what happened nationwide in 2020 in the wake of the death of George Floyd. But journalists getting hurt, getting injured, that's off limits, of course. I mean, everybody is. You can protest all you want. I'm for that. We support that. But when you start pillaging businesses, destroying property, and more importantly, causing physical harm to other people, you've crossed the line. You're not entitled to that.
I shouldn't laugh at the misfortune of others, but I can't help but laugh at journalists complaining that I got hit with a rubber bullet. I got hit with pepper spray. Yeah, because you were being stupid and putting your, I got to get the story. I got to get this particular scene in the background for my selfie reporting where I'm standing between the line of officers shooting less than lethal munitions at the line of rioters throwing rocks and Molotovs. Maybe don't stand between those two lines while doing your selfie reporting in L.A. Maybe then you won't get hit with a rubber bullet.
So the protesters, of course, engulfed the federal detention center in Los Angeles. Not backing down. Really just in a full-blown standoff with the feds in this situation. Illegals taking over the streets, assaulting law enforcement officers while waving foreign flags. Now, you want to wave a foreign flag? It's free speech. I'm okay with that. But when you dig underneath the covers and find out, no, you're a terrorist, honestly, because you're terrorizing American citizens and destroying property intentionally?
Well, it just shows the level of intelligence and the sheer stupidity of these people protesting when they are protesting being sent to the country whose flag they're waving so proudly.
That's true. So you've got ICE agents that are running into these protesters while they're conducting raids because they're illegals. Man. It just doesn't seem like we ought to have a problem in just asserting our sovereignty and then doing what's necessary to secure and protect it. And these people are obstructing with those efforts. But more importantly, American elected officials, such as the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor of California, they are. Because they're not doing anything to fix the problem. I think they're kind of secretly happy that this is going on. Pleased to see it. We're going to step aside for a break. Just getting started on this Monday from the Element Wealth Studio at 1105. It's former U.S. Attorney and current chairman of the Mississippi Republican Party, Mike Hurst. This segment of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by Covington County Hospital in Collins, where your health matters.
Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, it's all.
Markets this morning, the Dow presently down 81 points, the NASDAQ up 57. And the funny money is sitting at, what, 107,000, I think. Crude oil, it is up. It's now $65, so it's going in the wrong direction if you want lower prices at the pump. The volatility index sitting at 17 points today, the S&P up 3.7 or so. Yeah, so on the ceasefire text line, DJ and Summit says, I'm listening to Middays and watching live protests in L.A. at the moment, right now. Yeah, it is crazy. I guess, I know this sounds like a silly, perhaps rhetorical question. I don't understand the mindset of, to make my point, I got to go destroy property, throw projectiles at law enforcement, burn things down as they are doing, run around burning American flags and hoisting flags of other countries, and then harming people, which often happens. How does that make the point? I'm not sure I get it.
It's because the left collectively has an IQ and a cognitive capability, that of which is about tweenager. Not very well emotionally regulated, not very well versed in the way the world actually works, but highly motivated to do something.
I wonder if they understand you're on the other side of the law. I mean, we do have laws, immigration laws. In this country, there's nothing that
lionizes them, because they have convinced themselves through their Marxist teachings and through the identitarian ideology of wokeism and intersectionality that if a law is unjust, then it is your duty to fight against it.
Oh. So.
And sovereignty is obviously unjust because, well, they don't work. You can't tell me a single one of those people showing up to show their butt in public actually has a paying job.
No, I think you're right.
They may volunteer at the co-op and sell their tchotchkes they made while they were smoking dope, but they're not actually working and contributing to society. So they don't fully understand that everybody who's actually working is having to pay for all their nonsense.
That is so true. And Just saw Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, on the screen here in the studio, and she is once again pointing fingers at the Trump administration, blaming it on them because they're trying to enforce the law. Now, this is a mayor of a major American city, I think the last I checked, still the second largest in the country. And basically, she's flouting the law.
Well, it's not like she was elected because she's the sharpest tool in the shed.
She definitely ain't that. Man, oh man. So you got Tom Homan, who now came out, by the way, and just said regarding Mr. Garcia, who would be the left's martyr. There's like the poster child for,
quote unquote, Maryland man.
The Maryland man. He said, we're going to put him in prison. So they're bringing him back.
Yeah, to face the music for human trafficking, child pornography, lots of charges that, well, if the left had not been pushing so hard, he would have kind of avoided. But, well, people did digging and come to find out the dude was not a good dude.
Does that just
But the Democrats love slobbering all over him anyways because he checks the right boxes.
It just exposes the lunacy of the whole deal. You're pandering, you're coddling this criminal. Human trafficking, child pornography doesn't get much worse than that. Doesn't really matter. The seriousness of the crime, in my view, you broke the law. You got to pay the consequences. You are for that, right, lefties? I guess the answer would be no. Not when it serves their political purpose.
And especially not when they get riled up by politicians telling them to go out and do what they're doing.
That's so true. It's absolutely true. Well,
because they don't think for themselves. There's not a single person out there waving a Mexican flag or protesting that's had an original thought rattle through their empty skulls in their adult life.
I think that's largely true.
As soon as they left schooling where the teachers told them everything to think, they've just kind of been wandering this world, not knowing what to do with their hands.
CC in Senatobia says, because of all of these people would be at home knitting quilts if Trump had sent the National Guard. Arlen in Wayne County says, cayenne jalapeno juice filled paintballs could be helpful to fire at protesters.
Oh, they're using that. Yeah, they got the pepper balls and the paint guns, paintball guns.
Trump's doing it. We got to make him look wrong, says Mike from Columbus. It does seem that that's their singular focus. It's their strategy. It's their platform. Hate Trump. And they don't offer anything else but that. And because he's trying to just simply enforce immigration law and has put resources and assets, physical and human, in place to do so, and have issued orders to carry out the actions needed to uphold the law, they've got to be on the other side of that. They just got to be the contra to that. Man, one word for the protesters, leave. It did remind me of the 60s, mid-60s, 68 time frame, arguably the most tumultuous year in U.S. history, where the slogan that appeared on signage and bumper stickers and all over the place, America, love it or leave it. And that was, it just felt like we need to resurrect that. When you see these people out, many of whom are Americans that are also supporting these efforts of these thugs on bicycles, backs of trucks, etc., hoisting flags of other countries and engaged in assault of American law enforcement, it does kind of reignite the need for that slogan, that mantra again. Get the hell out. What? Well, I mean, if it's so bad, why do you stay here? Just get out. We'll help you. Yeah, it's sad times, and I hope there's some rapid resolution to the chaos. You can't have a functioning society if people are allowed to, again, destroy property, steal, pillage, You can't disrupt, obstruct. You can't do that. You can't have a functioning society. And you've got to pay the price for that. You've got to be held accountable. I think all of us on the right would say, you want to truly express your opinion under the First Amendment and protest in an orderly fashion to express your opinion in a way that does not disrupt, does not harm, does not destroy? Sure, we support that. That's part of the American principles.
Well, maybe the leftist agitators and protesters simply can't help it. Go back to what we were talking about with the outsized portion of leftists under 30 that have mental illness, self-reported mental illness. Maybe when you get that many crazy people in a group, it's hard to keep them all normal.
It sure seems like it. But I agree on the 601, one word for the protesters, leave. Charles of Matheson, but Cory Booker states it is peaceful. Not anything hardly that ever comes out of that guy's mouth is the truth.
Old Spartacus.
Trump could save a kitten stuck in a tree, and then liberals would start hating both kittens and trees, says CC in Senatobia.
Oh, I'm sure they would go into a tirade about how you shouldn't let your cat outside because cats kill birds.
Is Bass the one that stuffed Washington Mutual on her home, stiffed, I think he means, on her home mortgage, or was it the current mayor of Oakland, was in Congress at the time and just refused to pay? That's Wayne and Batesville. I'm not sure that either of those, I'm not sure that Karen Bass, yeah, she was in the Congress. She served in the House, did she not? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I'm confusing her with the...
I thought she was in the Obama administration.
I'm confusing her with the lady in Florida that was actually on the list as a possibility to be VP. That's similar profile, African-American female. Can't remember her name specifically. But, yeah, and the borders are Tom Homan. He threatens arrests for those who interfere with immigration and their deportation activities. I completely agree. It's the way it should work. So, man, already got it going. Coming right back in the Element Well studio.
From the Seabrook Paint.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. Little Sticks, Fooling Yourself, bumping us into this segment. So the latest on the kerfuffle between the president and Elon Musk over the weekend, the president says, doesn't appear he's interested in talking to the CEO of Tesla. They're not interested in having any conversations at this point, is what we're hearing. I just don't think anything's going to happen there. At least for now, it doesn't appear that there's...
Well, Elon did delete the tweet about Trump being in the Epstein files.
He did.
And he retweeted a Trump Truth Social post.
Okay. Which said what? What was he retweeting?
I didn't even take the time to stop and read it. I just noticed that, he's trying to make amends somewhat.
Hmm. You know, and then, of course, there's been some suggestion. He ran a poll. Should we create a new party? And there's lots of rumors about that. There are rumors about him perhaps being courted by Democrats, making investments there. He got a bunch of money to do that with. And the president warned that there would be consequences if he did that. So at this point, the timeline, the Washington Post had a fantastic timeline, by the way, that they published. That took a lot of work to review all that and assemble that. Just fascinating to watch all the barbs back and forth. But at this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be any conversation occurring anytime soon. Now, I'm also under the impression that, check me on this, that the president is removing the red Tesla from the White House property there. That, you recall, he bought and made a big public appearance showing the purchase of the vehicle in an attempt to, I guess, just boost the sales of the company, because a lot of people got mad of how cozy he was getting with the president, and they sort of staged a boycott, if you will. Tesla sales way down. And so the president was trying to offset that, showing his interest in the Tesla EV, bought a shiny red one, had it delivered there to the White House, made a big deal, big public event.
Well, he bought the red one. He was gifted a Cybertruck with a wrap of him with that iconic photo of him with his fist in the air after getting shot at.
Gotcha.
So he's made public that he's going to sell or donate the red one. I haven't heard anything about that wrapped Cybertruck. I wonder if it'll stay parked at Mar-a-Lago
where
it was
know.
Presented.
I'm not sure. And maybe it's just a rumor. I thought I saw like something from official, more credible news sources that the red Tesla was being removed from the White House.
Yeah, I mean, it was parked on, I forget what the name of the street was that's on the grounds there, but yeah, it's been parked out there. I think the conversation I saw reported was that it was going to be moved, and once it was moved, they would begin the process of figuring out who to donate it to, where it would best benefit whoever they donated it to, or what they could do if they sold it.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I think the rift continues.
I mean, it's just been sitting there.
Yeah.
It got bought as a prop for a press conference, and has it moved.
That's right. And I think all that was Trump's effort, again, to try to offset all the boycotting of Tesla, right? And that was being waged by those who don't like Trump, and then he brings in Elon. And this, of course, is the risk when you dive so deeply into politics, when your primary business is, or your primary function is to run a private business. And when you insert yourself right in the middle of politics the way he did, and obviously taking sides, I think it's fair to say you're probably alienating half the country.
It doesn't help that, again, that party that is opposing him is filled with crazy people.
No doubt. But it happens on the other side as well. Whenever Democrats take up a cause and crazy stuff happens from their side, and you get private companies the way they did, certainly, after
there's a big difference in boycotting Bud Light and setting Tesla dealerships on fire.
No, that's completely agreeable. Gotcha. No doubt about it. It's no different than if you want to go out and have a protest and you just you follow the rules and the law, if permits are required and you assemble and you speak your voice and your piece and have speakers, whatever else you do, even carry flags around. But if you're in the streets obstructing traffic and you're setting vehicles on fire and you're rummaging through private businesses and taking whatever you want, assaulting police officers in their mounts, you've crossed the line. That's that. You're not entitled to that. Our Constitution does not guarantee you the right. Anytime you're affecting the rights of others, when you're imposing and invading on their rights, infringing on their rights, you've crossed the line. Nope, you're not protected in that respect. But like you said, they see it as I guess, a way to reject these policies they think are just unfair and inhumane and should not be upheld. They're justifying it on that basis.
The most far gone on the far left have convinced themselves it is their moral obligation to fight tooth and nail, and if need be, give their lives in defense of what they believe is the second coming of Hitler, Trump.
It's just crazy.
Like the idiot that was on the news over the weekend talking about, yeah, I smelled tear gas. It smelled like fascism.
I didn't hear that.
If he could point me to any fascist dictator where you got to go show your butt in public and then get on the news and talk bad about the government, I'd be interested in seeing that example.
Yeah, that's totally crazy. No doubt about it. I don't know why it's so hard for the Democrats to understand this distinction between your right to redress your government in the form of protests, as long as you don't infringe upon the rights of others. I mean, that's a pretty simple concept. Well, the anti-Semitism protests that are taking place across America's college campuses, you want to go assemble in accordance with the rules of the college for such protests and assemblies of people? You have the right to do that. But when you're blocking people from walking around the campus, entering classrooms, disrupting classrooms, and a host of other things they're doing, you're infringing on the rights of others. That's a pretty simple, straightforward, common sense ideal.
Maybe it just doesn't click in their brains because for the entirety of the Biden administration, they were allowed to just make up nonsensical rules based on what they were feeling that day, and everybody had to abide by them.
That's unfortunately the case. It's essentially, you're the enemy, and all bets are off if you don't agree with their point of view, and they will rationalize and justify any actions, even if it means destroying property, harming others. I'll never forget during all the BLM protests across the country, the young black lady who was captured, I'm not sure which news network it was, but remember she said, I mean, without blinking an eye, yeah, the Gucci store was behind her. Remember that? And if they break into the Gucci store and steal purses, that's perfectly fine. That's reparations. In other words, you can steal from others, take property which is not rightfully yours, and they justify it. They rationalize it, defend it, normalize it. You cannot have a functioning society if it's lawless. It's impossible. And the thing they all want, of course, is wealth. We all do. I mean, we all want a comfortable lifestyle. That's sure. But when you infringe on the rights of others to achieve it, well, then you have broken the law. You got to pay the price for that and be held accountable. But I remember that young lady. She was literally telling reporters, yeah, that's perfectly fine for them to just walk in, bust into that store, break the windows down, overtake the guards, whatever the case may be, and help themselves to the inventory on the shelves. That's reparations. They're entitled to it. I mean, that's sick. We're stepping aside, coming right back. Mike Hurst at 11:05.
Hey, this is Bob, and if you're like...
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
So just looking at got the Business Channel on, as always, in the studio, and seeing these images of, again, all the vandalism and these people on the medians and the boulevards around, which are common in Los Angeles. And they're running up and down the boulevards, just hurling rocks and stones and sticks and so forth at the vehicles passing by. And these aren't even law enforcement. These are just civilians. What's the purpose of
that? And in some cases, the civilians have started fighting back. There's a video of one van that, I guess, made a wrong turn and wound up in the midst of all the protests. And they were using that van like a battering ram to get out of there.
Unbelievable. I don't understand why Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, why would they push back on the president providing, deploying the National Guard to help?
Because they both have, well, one, they have their head in the sand. That's their usual position. And two is they hate Trump with every fiber of their being and everything he stands for, so they cannot let him have a single victory because it makes him look bad.
He's trying to solve the problem. Now, do you think most of the residents of Los Angeles, you think they're opposed to this action if it settles the chaos and cleans the streets up because it's Trump? I just don't know.
Not
I mean,
that
I know
I
there
suggest...
are a lot of Trump haters in L.A., but...
I've got an idea. It's not a good idea, and it's not even a serious suggestion, but it would be funny. Trump is scheduled to have a conversation, I believe, in London with Xi from China.
Yeah.
What if he called up Xi and said, hey, buddy, I need you to announce an unscheduled visit to Los Angeles in about 3 days' time. Just say you're coming for diplomatic relations. And if you do, I'll give you some concessions on this trade talk. Because I wonder how quickly Newsom would get L.A. cleaned up if his buddy Xi was showing up.
Well, that's true. That'd be a good motivator for that purpose.
It's the only time he's ever actually done anything meaningful to the homeless population in L.A. was when Xi came to visit.
That's true. Cleaned it up, didn't he? Wanted to make an impression. Didn't want him to see it as it is. Yeah. And because you know they would revel, would Xi? See, I told you that American capitalism... that's what he'd run back and tell the communists.
Although, now that I think about it, I don't think my idea would even really work because there was some scuttlebutt over the weekend that China was thinking about putting out a statement saying that they reserved the right to intercede if things got out of hand. I don't think they ever officially made the statement, but it was percolating.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think the president is right in mobilizing the resources at his disposal within the law. And there's laws that could be pointed to, could be relied upon, that gives him the authority to mobilize and deploy the National Guard for this purpose. We can't let bad people come into this country and obstruct law enforcement from carrying out the law. And that's essentially what's going on here.
So yeah, that's how it all started, was a Los Angeles business owner locked ICE agents in the building when they came to collect illegals.
Unbelievable.
And it snowballed out of control from there.
Well, I support the president in this effort. This is a no-brainer. It's sad to see an American city degrade into this level of chaos in the streets. It's just, you just think about all the problems we need to be focused on in our country, in our society, and you're just creating more. You're exacerbating it. So we're having to use resources and time and money. You're disrupting business as well. People who don't really have a dog in the hunt, they're just in business trying to take care of their families that work for them and their own family, do things for society, and they can't because thugs have decided to take to the streets. It's just incredible. That's what you would expect to see in a third world country, and this president's not going to allow that to happen. He's not going to allow it to stand. And so I hats off to him. I think it's the right thing to do. So here's a question, Rhino, before we go to break. You think Joe Biden would have mobilized the National Guard at the sight of what's going on? Of course, I guess it wouldn't have happened because he, of course, looked the other way at everybody that crossed over the border and then just fanned out into the country.
I honestly don't think he would have even been made aware of it at this point.
That's a sad thing to think. We're stepping aside.
Or if he was, he wouldn't know it.
That's true. Oblivious. Fox News, Super Talk News coming your way. It's top of the hour, and then it's Mike Hurst. He's currently the chairman of the Mississippi Republican Party. We'll get his thoughts on this little kerfuffle between the president and Elon Musk.
More of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by the Mississippi Business Journal. Visit msbusinessjournal.com. Scott Coopwood, publisher and president.
And now, the talk that keeps Mississippi talking.
That's what I like to listen to.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's hour two of Middays. It's Monday. That means Super Talk Outdoors with Ricky Matthews is up for the normal third hour of Middays, but it's our pleasure to welcome now Mike Hurst. He's a former U.S. attorney and currently serves as the chairman of the Mississippi Republican Party. Mike, always good to see you, sir.
Great
Thanks
to see
for
you,
coming
too.
In.
Thanks, Gerard. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So let's start with the municipal elections last week. The party, with your leadership, got fairly involved in the situation down in Gulfport.
Yep.
Hugh Keating looks like is going to prevail.
Yep.
The Republican candidate for governor replacing, I didn't mean to promote him real quick.
Or demote him, I don't know what he would say.
That's true. Replacing Billy Hughes, Mayor
right.
Billy Hughes, who done a great job in the city of Gulfport, who decided not to seek re-election. But some shenanigans going on down there. You guys had a big press conference last weekend. We're down and brought in Senator Tim Scott to promote the get-out-the-vote efforts, just to make sure, because it appears that the Democrat candidate, Sonya Barnes, and her apparatus, it appears, at least allegedly, were involved in some questionable practices with respect to voting.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I was notified on a Monday night that this was going on, and so we started investigating, started getting evidence from those who were on the ground in Gulfport, and we started seeing these vouchers. They were entitled Souls to the Polls, free food vouchers. And it said on the voucher that if you vote, you can use this voucher for a meal at a local restaurant. And it said the vouchers were good through June 3rd. Now, ironically, June 3rd was the election day. So, obviously, we started collecting more evidence, and we found out not only did that happen, the Souls to the Polls vouchers that they were handing out in front of the city hall, on the steps of the city hall, as voters went in to vote absentee and came out, were handed vouchers, except when a Republican voter came out, asked for a voucher. The lady who was handing out the vouchers denied, you know, lied and said she didn't know what he was talking about. Lied and said, you know, she was just there watching for the Democratic mayoral candidate's campaign. And then at the very end, she said this, "Don't you be starting no trouble," to the Republican voter. So it was clear to us that this was being done for Democrats, only for Democrats. And then once the Democratic mayoral candidate realized what she had done or what her campaign had done, they started trying to give vouchers to others. And so this was why we called attention to this, because this was the Democrats literally buying votes in contravention of state law. And the weekend before, they had a thing on a Saturday. It said, if you come vote here on Saturday, you will get a voucher, or you will get a wristband, actually, to attend a free brunch right after we vote at 10 a.m., and we'll go to this restaurant and have a free brunch. This is what they were doing in order to try to buy this election. And we just had to bring – the media was not covering it. The media was not picking up on it. And so we went down there almost 2 weeks ago, the Wednesday before the election, and held a press conference just to shine light on this, just to call for the district attorney and the attorney general to look into this. And it turns out the attorney general's office had already been looking into this before we called a light into it. So good for them.
Well, this distinction you just pointed out where a Republican voter was asked not to go starting any trouble.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. So that's a little color.
That's right.
That we weren't. Because I think technically, when you and I talked about this prior, that, you know, if you want to just give somebody a voucher to eat, in if you prove you voted, I don't know that there's anything necessarily. I mean, it's borderline at best.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the statute's ambiguous in the sense that it says one cannot exchange their vote for something of substantial value or money.
Okay.
And so there, it's ambiguous. It is ambiguous. But when you start, here's my point. And we laid this out in a letter that I sent to the AG's office and the DA's office. We laid out all those statements I just said by that Democratic person handing out the voucher. But my point is, if you're not doing anything wrong, why are you hiding?
Yeah, that's true.
Why are you lying?
That's true.
Why are you not allowing Republicans to get these vouchers and only blame Democrats?
Well, if they are, in fact, discriminating against Republicans in the issuing of these vouchers, that sounds to me like you are, in fact, attempting at least to coerce, to compensate in exchange for a specific vote
That's right.
A specific candidate.
Absolutely.
Rather than just the act of voting.
Right. And I think the Democrats were so hell-bent on making sure they won this race. I mean, go back 2 years ago in the gubernatorial race throughout the state, and what I was told was, you know, Brandon Presley won the city of Gulfport over our governor, Tate Reeves.
Yeah.
And so the Democrats were fired up. They got help from outside, a lot of money from outside, a lot of people, surrogates from outside. But, you know, we had to shine a light on the illegal activity that was going on down there. And then we also brought in Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina,
right.
who
yeah.
is an incredible, incredible speaker, motivator. I mean, just a gentleman of a man. And he came down that Friday before the election and just really fired up the base and I think really helped get the Republicans to the polls. And,
yeah.
and hats off to Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith for getting him down there.
Yeah. And she was there as well.
She was.
Right? Yeah.
She was.
So, yeah, it looked like a great event. And you guys did just kudos to you and the whole team.
Well, we're very blessed, the Mississippi Republican Party, have an incredible staff. Rance Bilbo is our executive director. Leslie Davis, our vice chairwoman and committee woman. Frank Bordeaux, our committee man from the RNC. And, you know, we did text messaging. We did social media boosted post. We helped coordinate phone banking. I mean, we tried to do everything that we could in our power with our resources to try to get folks to the poll. And we did, and we surprised some folks. I mean, we won the city of Philadelphia mayor's race as a Republican, maybe the first time ever. And people just didn't see that coming. You know, Winona, Amory, other places, you know, that people just took us for granted, and we came in and we won those races. Now, we lost some. We did lose Horn Lake. We did lose Brookhaven. But I will tell you, I've spoken to our team and the resources we put into there, and I think we just did everything we could to do.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I feel like that is one of the primary missions of the party.
Absolutely.
You get to a general election like this, whatever you can do, the party should get behind, use its resources to get people to polls and make sure they vote Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your core mission.
And that's what I've told our staff and our leadership. I said, look, we need to get back to the traditional blocking and tackling of what I think a state party should be doing, which is trying to focus on these local races. We as Republicans, we as conservatives believe that the best form of government is that which is closest to the people. And that's why we try to pour our heart and souls in helping regain, not only retain the mayoral positions we had, but to gain new ones. And I think we're successful overall.
Yeah. And so you got to be, I think, overall pleased
yes,
with the results
absolutely.
Last week.
I mean, Gulfport's our second largest city in the state of Mississippi. The numbers, as I mentioned, from the gubernatorial race looked really, really bad. And Hugh Keating and his team, they did a fantastic job, ran a great campaign.
They did.
And came out on top.
Yeah. And also kudos to Mayor Billy Hughes for staying involved.
Yep.
And really helping Hugh Keating.
Yeah.
And push him across the finish line.
Yeah, Mayor Hughes has done an incredible job over the last number of years with Gulfport, with the aquarium, with the Shuckers. I mean, the things that have just blossomed under his leadership, I mean, he should be really commended for that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, let's turn our attention to the political matters on the national level.
Wait, is anything going on the national level?
Man, oh,
I haven't
man.
Seen anything.
Well, first, you and I were talking offline, as we, Rhino and I, have been discussing all morning, the scenes in Los Angeles are so disheartening, so disappointing that these people who really don't deserve to be in this country are taking to our streets and disrupting and destroying and assaulting law enforcement.
Mm.
So the president says, enough of that. We can't have a functioning society. We're going to have law and order. This is no secret or surprise. He was like that in his first term. He made that a high priority throughout the campaign since he's been elected. So he says, okay, you guys aren't getting the job done here, Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom. I'm sending in the National Guard.
Right. I love Rhino's point of, let's just invite the Chinese premier, the communist government over to our country, and Gavin Newsom will clean it up in a heartbeat like he did with
exactly
San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible that how every elected official in this country, no matter party, how they cannot simply be for the upholding and the enforcement of our laws,
yeah,
just for law and order. We're not talking about anything else but law and order. Our representative democracy has passed these laws to keep the peace, to protect our law-abiding citizens. And these individuals, as you said, this is not civil, peaceful protest. This is flat-out illegal criminal rioting in the streets with Mexican flags. Explain that one to me. Explain Mexican flags being held up when they're protesting individuals who came to our country illegally from Mexico. I mean, how do you argue this is not, you know, over the last 4 years, I would argue the last 4 years was a migrant invasion.
It was an invasion.
A migrant invasion.
There's no doubt about
that.
It.
That was not only allowed but encouraged by the last administration. And thank the Lord we have an administration now that is for the rule of law and for secure borders.
Yeah.
You know, I heard someone say, you know, you don't have a house without a door. You don't have a body without skin. You don't have a country without borders. And that's what this president is standing up for.
All good analogies. I agree. We got Mike Hurst. He's a former U.S. attorney and chairman of the Mississippi Republican Party. In the Element Well studio, we'll dig into this situation with the president, Elon Musk, when we come back. Stay with us.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Let's do this.
Right. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Well studio. So, she doesn't mind me saying this. Every now and then, my wife listens in, probably more than she admits, but she made an observation.
You better be careful. She's listening right now. So,
she made an observation that the attitude and the temperature in the country is different than it was in the wake of the BLM riots, that people aren't as sympathetic, I think, is maybe one way to put it. Even people on the left that generally supported that crap back then, those of us on the right, I think for the most part, said, sure, you want to go protest, fine. You start pillaging businesses and obstructing law enforcement, interfering with the rights of others. Nope, can't help you with that. You've crossed the line. Even, I think, people on the left who supported all that stuff trying to be virtuous in 2020, I think now would say it's a bad idea that this is going on.
Yeah, I think you can support, like, equality and justice. I think we can all support that.
Sure.
I think you can support that without burning someone's
sure
business down, without torching a car, without throwing a brick through a cop's car. I mean, that's what's
totally
not only happened during those riots back in 2020 during this administration, but that is exactly what is happening now in LA.
Agreed.
And the crazy thing, Gerard, is why the Democrats allow this? Are they allowing this just to try to promote themselves within their base? I mean, is this what the Democratic Party stands for now? The only thing I can see is that the common denominator through the riots of 2020, when President Trump tried to deploy National Guard to the January 6th protest, to the L.A. riots now, and even I can tell you about the city of Jackson, Mississippi. The common theme running is Democrats in control hate and oppose anything President Trump wants. Because when I was U.S. attorney, we tried, the Department of Justice had a project called Project Legend, started in Kansas City, Missouri, And it was where the DOJ would basically send federal law enforcement, FBI, DEA, ATF, ICE, to a city that was having a lot of crime problems and temporarily assign them there for 90 days to try to get hold of the city, make it peaceful again. And we tried, we got department blessing to move that to Jackson, Mississippi. And Mayor Shokwe Lumumba said no.
Yeah.
The entire city council was in favor of Mayor Lumumba said no, and here's why he said no. He said no, and he didn't say no to me. He said no to some podcast, a Democratic podcast he was talking to. He said no because he didn't want Trump militarizing his city. Not that we were the nation's, you know, the murder capital yeah. in the nation. Not that he didn't want to protect his citizens. Not even to bring professional federal law enforcement officers into our capital city to make it safer for people. Is because he opposed President Donald Trump.
Hmm. So, in other words, you don't want to solve the problem.
No.
It's
no.
The bottom line.
It's all politics over people.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
What's sad.
Well, that totally is sad. And this is a situation where, that honestly, it appears that the Los Angeles Police Department is overwhelmed. And what we don't know, of course, is it may be overwhelmed because the mayor and the chief of police are somehow in cahoots to kind of restrict the L.A. Police Department,
yeah.
that they're somewhat sympathetic.
If it were my guess, that would be absolutely the case, because that was my experience when I was U.S. attorney. We were trying to combat violent crime in the city of Jackson, and it worked well first until the mayor realized it was not good for his climbing the political ladder, and he started pulling back. He started pulling back police leadership and pulling back police participation, and, you know, you can't do that job without working hand in hand with your local cops.
Well, we got to have, it's fundamental to the quality of life, is you've got to have law enforcement.
And this is the first job, this is the first duty of government.
I agree.
We as human beings have established our government in order to first and foremost protect our citizens.
No doubt about it.
And that should not be a partisan issue. That should be a universal issue that we all agree on.
Completely agree. Well, let's hope that there's quick resolution to this situation. The streets of L.A. return to normal, and we get everything cleaned up. But in the meantime, the borders are Tom Homan. He's out there looking for the illegals, and he's going to deport them with an emphasis, a priority placed on those that are committing crimes in this country.
And Tom is a great guy. I knew Tom when I was U.S. attorney. We were both teaching on immigration enforcement at DOJ's training academy. And, man, there's no better person to be our immigration czar, our border czar, than Tom Homan. He's no-nonsense New Yorker. He just says it like it is, and that's exactly what we need right now in this day and age.
Excellent pick by the president.
Yep.
Agree. So let's talk about this little dust-up occurring between the president and Elon Musk. The latest from the president over the weekend is that he doesn't really have any interest or any plans at this point to have any conversation with Mr. Musk, who has, of course, resigned in accordance with the terms of the original agreement, though I actually think they could have figured out ways to extend that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think he was feeling some pressure as well to get back to his primary duties as the CEO of Tesla and these other companies. But at this point, it's somewhat disruptive, I guess is what you could say. Does this last, do you think, Mike, or does this blow over pretty quick?
Well, let me first say, we are indebted to what Elon did for the election last year. We're indebted to what he's done with Doge.
No doubt.
But this what people are calling the breakup, this schism between Elon and President Trump is just totally, totally uncalled for, in my opinion, from Elon's point of view. Even if you disagree with someone, even if you leave employment, whatever, you should not go on a personal attack of that individual, which is what Elon has done here. To say that President Trump, you know, the Epstein files have not been released because President Trump is in those, do you for a second think if that were true, that Joe Biden and his DOJ would not have released that over the last 2 years that he was running against Trump? I mean, that's crazy. And to defame President Trump that way and just to personally attack him. Again, disagree with policy all day long, but to personally go after the president like that, I have to call Elon out on that. He's wrong. He's dead wrong. When someone comes after your character and your integrity and lies about you, I don't blame President Trump for not forgiving him. I mean, right now, if you have individuals that flat out lie to you in public, try to take you down, defame you for themselves, that person should be ostracized. And I hate to say that, but he's done it because he's done a lot of good for our country. I mean, the fact that he bought Twitter at a loss and saved freedom of speech in this country and allowed us to see what real news is like instead of having to rely on the left-wing, liberal, mainstream media, that is incredible. But don't ruin all of that. Don't ruin your credibility, your name, by going after your former, you know, partner in trying to make our country better by defaming him and lying about him and making these unsubstantiated claims. That's just wrong. And again, it's kudos to the president for trucking on, but I hate to see this happen, and I hate to see Elon state these lies like this.
In fact, I think the president's response has been somewhat muted. I mean, typically if he's attacked, He's pretty good about giving it right back to him, but he's kind of just dismissed it and said, you know, he's sick, he's got problems, he's got issues, and sort of just went past it.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, what he said is, I'm focusing on getting the one big beautiful bill passed. I don't really have time to deal with Elon and his tirades right now.
And I think they will eventually mend fences, because I noticed last night on X, President Trump was tweeting about the issues in L.A. and the rioting and trying to get law and order reinstituted in L.A. And Elon was retweeting
it.
Yeah.
I saw it too.
I mean, he was liking it, American flags. I mean, so I do think there is an opportunity for resolution, for reconciliation. But at the same time, I think we as citizens and we as Americans, mm-hmm. we have to hold, whether it's individuals like influencers and business people like Elon, or it's even our elected officials, we have to hold those people accountable for the truth telling. And if you start lying and you start making things up because you're mad at someone, it's personal attacks, we have to hold those people accountable. We can't allow those people to govern our country, govern our state, govern our communities.
Yeah. I mean, at the core of this is just a disagreement about the big budget package, the one big beautiful bill. Let's have a debate about that. That's perfectly fair and reasonable. We should be doing
absolutely.
That in this country.
But it shouldn't be personal. If
Agreed.
You disagree on policy, fine. You know, my wife and I, we've been married for over 27 years. We disagree on a lot of things, but we still love each other.
Sure.
You've just got to realize how to amicably fight and resolve situations like that.
We desperately need to restore that sort of civil discourse
Absolutely.
In our politics.
Absolutely. And frankly, we as Republicans, we've been on the forefront of that for the last number of years as Democrats and liberals try to cancel us, as we try to speak out, as we try to engage in debate. We offer debate. We invite debate. But the response from the left and the response for progressives is shut it down. We don't want to debate because they don't have the policy. They are not on the right side of policy like we are.
Don't have a response.
That's
Mike,
right.
Appreciate you coming
great
in, man.
To see you,
Always
Thank
good to
you.
See you. Mike Hurst, former U.S. Attorney, Chairman of the Mississippi Republican Party. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio.
From the Seabrook Paint.
Get on!
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
It is on!
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, at this moment, all the indexes are now in the green. Well, the Dow just hopped over the unchanged line back negative by 1 point. So, Travelers, Visa, Nike, McDonald's, Procter & Gamble, all the big losers today on the Dow.
Funny money's still climbing.
I see that. Sure is. Man. what was the record? 110 and change, wasn't it? Wasn't that the highest it's ever been, Bitcoin?
I want to say the latest record was 111.
Okay.
Trying to find the insights. Yeah, all-time high, 111,891 in May.
Okay. A little more than 110. Derek from Carrollton says, the problem with America is we have gotten too soft on crime. There are no consequences for the wicked. If we round up the agitators and let them spend a few months in the tent city jail, they might come out with a different attitude. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think we have sort of progressively increased our coddling of criminals. It's like we're trying to rationalize and justify it and understand it, normalize it, sanction it. It's not their fault, you know, and all that sort of stuff. I still believe the fundamental core problem with almost everything in the country is the dissolution of the nuclear family. That when we saw the downfall and we've seen the rate of poverty, even though people who were able to overcome those very difficult, challenging circumstances in their youth, and those who did come from a normal, loving, nurturing home, generally speaking, statistically, they thrive. They succeed as adults. And the opportunities that have expanded in this country, mostly driven by technology. And those opportunities people have seized, and they've made tremendous economic strides. Just a lot of wealth has been created. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of laggards, people that have not been able to take advantage of those opportunities and growth. I just believe that to a great extent it's because they did not have a proper and appropriate and normal youth life at home to avail them of those opportunities and to make sure that they're not left behind. And that's our challenge and what we got to work on. And it's, again, we've sort of normalized and sanctioned promiscuity, out of wedlock births, all the above. I know Gary from the Berg likes to harp on that, talk about that. I don't disagree with him. It's a huge problem right here in the state of Mississippi, where 45% of the children in our state live in fatherless homes. 57% of the babies are born to Medicaid, which means it's to a mother of very low income. That just makes things difficult. Doesn't mean they can't thrive and can't overcome those challenges and obstacles. It just makes it more difficult. It means the path is of more risk. But, yeah, I agree with Derek here, that to a great extent, really driven by the left. And you know what it is, Rhino, if you think about it? It's all these liberal philosophers around the colleges that are like, that have never met any of these people, never had to deal with any of this crime personally.
They've spent their entire adult life in the bubble of academia.
And yeah, and they're like, you know, thinking through all this and overthinking it, honestly. Well, if we do this and this and this, no. To Derek's point here, you break the law, we lock your butt up, and do whatever's necessary to punish you in the hopes that, first, when you're released, if you are, you don't go out and repeat it. Because you know that recidivism is a huge problem in this country. And also, those who are thinking about it, maybe it deters them a little bit. I don't want to end up like that person. But look no further than in California when a few years ago, oh, yeah, under $900, we don't care. You steal $900 and it wasn't even again. We don't pursue it, I guess. You had thieves, burglars, busting up into businesses in the middle of the day with calculators, just helping themselves to inventory on the shelves, adding it up on the calculator to make sure they stood with under the $900 threshold. That's incredible to think about that in this country. Now, I think that's since been repealed, if I'm not mistaken. I think even the California legislature, they got so much pressure.
Yeah, the citizens voted against it.
That's what it was. There was a ballot measure, right? Yeah, that was unto itself. And I don't know what the purpose of that was other than to sort of again, legalize.
To fudge crime numbers.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid that may be right as well. Make it look like.
Because when a Democrat sees crime statistics that don't follow the narrative they have in their empty skulls, they just try to change the law so that those numbers aren't the same anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same with any statistic that comes across their desk that doesn't fit their nonsensical narrative.
Just
well, obviously there's some intrinsic bias and some systemic oppression here. It couldn't possibly be that they're just blithering idiots that vote for me.
That's exactly right. Some bias. It's mathematical bias, right? Oh, gosh. They should consider the fact that the Marines are on standby. When they roll, it's game over. That's the ceasefire text line, president-elect. Johnny in West Point says, interesting fact, I heard on early talk radio this morning that some people believe that Elon Musk has a neuro implant in his brain, and that's why he's acting the way he is. Of course, I don't believe it. Just interesting fact I heard.
It's not exactly a fact if it's a rumor.
Yeah. Now
it's also not true.
He's the founder, of course, co-founder of this company, Neuralink, and they've had some recent success, and that is, in fact, what a brain implant. But that's not really...
The movers and shakers within that company would be tarring and feathering him if he went and got himself a Neuralink against the procedures for their trials.
But that's to help people who don't have use of their limbs, right?
Correct.
To use their eyes to control
computers. Well,
that's the first
use case that's being trialed. Yeah.
I mean, right. There are more plans of using the technology for those that are disabled to some extent. Yeah. So I don't know about that.
More likely he got on a bender of ketamine and didn't realize he was saying what he was saying.
And he admitted.
He was in a K-hole.
He admitted as much. Now, you know, he has an interesting background. His childhood had an abusive father. I mean, it's amazing, honestly, that he's as productive and normal, if you could call it that, a person as he is. He's got paternity cases going on. He's got a lot of things happening. He's running these big companies.
Well, that tends to happen when you take it upon yourself to repopulate the planet.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Throw your homemade firebombs peacefully, sis. See, in Senatobia.
That was the peak of stupidity from the protesters. Was it yesterday they ordered all the Waymo self-driving cars and then burn them?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not like those Waymo cars just accidentally showed up at the protest. No, literally somebody there had to get on the app and say, hey, come on down to this address so we can tear you up.
Come pick me up under the auspices that they were seeking transportation. Yeah. I've heard someone say about protests, your rights end where mine begin. I think that's a good way to describe it. Why is Stephen Miller trying to tie the protest to the big, beautiful bill, says Thomas in Greenwood. I haven't seen that. Help me out.
ICE funding, Border Patrol funding, the like.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense. You mean because they're trying to invest a little dollars into the efforts to secure the border, deport people who shouldn't be here, make sure that ICE and other law enforcement agencies involved in securing the border have what they need, building the walls in there as well, finishing that?
Okay. You may not like Stephen Miller's political stances or policy positions, but I've yet to see him give a breakdown of why he's doing something or why he said something or why he's connected two dots and it not be completely truthful.
Yeah. He's
a pretty straight shooter when it comes to that.
I would agree with that and can cut through all the noise and like this. Yeah, maybe they're mad but think about what the ICE people are doing right now. All that's an extension of this. The big, beautiful bill just ensures that the funding is in place to protect our borders and deport bad people. That's just all there is to it. And that includes building the wall, making sure ICE has the assets, the funding they need to function and operate. Because the prior administration was doing the exact opposite, as you recall. They were essentially neutering them and ordering them to stand down and not deliver on their mission. So the protesters are now stopping traffic, says DJ and Summit, waiting to see if they remove them. I hope they do. Send 50 Buford pursers to stop, I think it's Pusser, right, to stop the riots, each with a big stick. That's Jimmy from Monticello. Coming right back. Stay with us.
Poly up a Mississippi.
Are we going to do this?
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
We are back with you in the Element Well studio. It is against the law for contractors to hire illegal aliens. Maybe we should go after the contractors and it might turn everything around. I think you're referring to just businesses in general. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's why we have E-Verify and other systems. And I think what was happening in L.A., right, was somebody reported that some business was operating with lots of illegals working for him, and that's when I showed up to raid.
Yeah, that was one of the big stories of the weekend before L.A. popped off, was how heartbroken all of the wealthy people in Martha's Vineyard were that their housekeepers and landscapers and the people working at businesses there were there illegally and getting rounded up by ICE.
They're here illegally. I'm for a path to citizenship under the law, following the law. And there are also, of course, ways you could get work visas and be admitted into this country legally as a documented alien who's working and contributing and has an IT, what's called an ITIN, an income tax identification number, actually pays taxes, contributes to Social Security, Medicare.
But under the provisions of those visas, if you break the law, if you commit felonies, if you commit treason, it's null and void, and your butt's going home.
And Secretary of State Marco Rubio has made that very clear over and over again. In fact, what the message he's been promoting is, it is a privilege, not a right. That seems to be lost on the Democrats that are falling in line with the protesters and this Garcia character. It's a privilege, not a right, to be in this country. Simple as that. And we have the right under the law, specifically the Secretary of State, to control who gets admitted into this country. That all falls within the Secretary's scope. It seems to be lost. It's like, wait, you can't deport them. Yeah, you can. They're not supposed to be here. They're not here as a right. They're here as a privilege. We let you in. We're allowing you to go work, for example. And I'm fine with that, honestly. I don't have a problem. Unfortunately, though, under the Biden administration, lots of bad folks crossed that border and dispersed, and they're sucking us dry. On top of that,
all while the Democrats looked the other way because they knew they were all going to filter out into the system and change the demographic makeup and provide more votes in blue strongholds by way of the census.
That's what it was all about. No doubt.
The illegals didn't have to vote in the election. If they get counted in the census, guess what? The numbers go up, which means you get more representation in the House.
Yeah, I agree.
More political power at the expense of the average taxpaying American.
I agree.
Also, a bunch of moochers can keep on mooching. Welcome to the Democrat Party.
Johnny in West Point, by the way, said, I should have said it was a rumor they were saying that he has had the AI downloaded into a chip implant in his brain, all conspiracy theory radio early in the morning talking about Elon Musk. No, if you do a little research on his background, this kind of adds up, his behavior here. And I think he's an incredibly smart, just crazy, wild genius but I think he's unstable. I just put it that way.
I don't know that I'd go as far as to say unstable, but he is exceedingly socially awkward. And when you apply that social awkwardness to the microscope he's constantly under, it just kind of exacerbates things.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Plus, well, you add on the fact that he's worth bukoodles of money, and that insulates him from the majority of consequences for his awkwardness.
Well, I mainly asserted that he's unstable just because of his reported drug use. I just felt like that the instability, and him even saying he can't sleep, he's stressed out all the time, he has wild mood swings up and down. Maybe it's harsh to say that that's unstable, but it's certainly problematic. It's hard to function and not have go off the rails here and there, and that's what's happening. But amazingly, even in spite of all that, what he's been able to accomplish in the private sector, and then, of course, getting the Doge stuff cranked up. I'm at first, you know, when this was announced that he was going to be involved, I applauded it. I said, you know, I think it's good to get somebody from the private sector to really do a scrub of the federal budget and federal spending. I had more confidence in someone from the private sector who has to do that in their own company and companies just to make ends meet often and to just optimize their profits and their contributions to society. But also, I think what we see now is if you come from the private sector like that and you're still involved in the private sector as he is, and then you go insert yourself at such a deep level in politics, I mean the circle, the center of power, I just think problems are likely to crop up, and that's what we're witnessing. Out of here today, back with you tomorrow. Stay safe, and God bless everyone.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.